Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are here today with Dr. Alton Barron, MD, and he has been working with the symphonies and with musicians to help heal and bring back their ability to play. How did you ever get connected with this, with your surgeries?
Yes, thanks, and thanks so much for having me. It's really an honor to be on the show. And when I finished training over 2 decades ago, I had done a shoulder fellowship and a hand fellowship, and my mentor was actually the primary treating surgeon for the New York Philharmonic and the Metropolitan Opera, and so he retired shortly after I started. So I basically inherited that, and it was just a great honor to be able to care for these individuals. And then I expanded that into rock and roll and jazz, and I treat really probably 2,000 musicians each year. So it's quite a lot over time, and you learn so much about that, and you try to care for them, and that's really how I got involved. And then, of course, their socioeconomic travails, which are widely known in the music industry, mm-hmm. and the lay people as well. That became the cornerstone of our nonprofit effort.
So now you launched this Musicians Treatment Foundation. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I'd sort of been a one-man nonprofit my whole career, in that if a needful musician came in and they had no insurance or very poor insurance, and I would just take some signed CDs or a chicken or something as a barter system to try to work with them and make sure that primary goal of just getting them back to playing would be achieved. And what's so important about that is that, over 40% of professional musicians have no health insurance. That's in the U.S. And then in Austin specifically, where I spend half my time, the 8,000 musicians average only about less than $16,000 a year in income. So it's really an extraordinary problem for a subset, and there are many, many people that are, that have financial woes, and we cannot take care of all of them. But one of the aspects of music is that music touches everybody, and music is so important to all of our cognitive and psychological well-being and health. Louis Armstrong said, "Music is life itself," and I would not disagree. A great physician and neurologist, Oliver Sacks, who's written many books, said music is not a luxury, it's a necessity, and I really do agree with that. And so, anyway, that's how we got started, but I couldn't have done it without one Canadian and an adopted Canadian, two of my great friends, and there on the board is Diana Krall and Elvis Costello, and I asked them, and they just came up, they said, "Look, we want to be fully involved. We want to be board members, and let's get this going." And so Elvis graciously gave our inaugural benefit 2 years ago in Austin, and we raised $250,000, and that was our seed money to really get started. And then we've been growing by leaps and bounds since then, and it's just been very gratifying. But we really can't do it without the musicians, and they all have been there. They all want to give back, because there's no musician on the planet who was born with some silver spoon in their mouth. If you can't make the right kind of music, you don't make a living at it, period. No matter who you are. So they all know. They've all been there.
Alton, are you a musician as well as a physician?
I'm a total hack. I just love music. I play some guitar and I'm pretty musical, but I'm it takes 10,000 hours to be good at something, and
right.
That's not my forte, but I love being there and being part of it, and it inspires everything I do. In fact, all of my I find it hard to operate and do my shoulder, elbow, and hand surgery without music playing in the background, and I mm-hmm. do that constantly. Yeah.
What's some words of wisdom for musicians to keep their hands and their wrists and their elbows and their shoulders intact? Is there anything you can do preventatively, or it's just that excessive 10,000 hours that brings you to a breakdown of the body?
Well, that's a question that I have an entire hour lecture on how to answer. But yes, there's if you break it down into two components, look, we can't avoid doing foolish things, tripping off of the edge of a curb and breaking our wrist or tearing our rotator cuff. And that's devastating, obviously, for all of us, but specifically for musicians, because they can't make music and therefore can't make a living. And so in that circumstance, we can't prevent that. I mean, you know, that's just the way of all flesh. But in the overuse strain category and the tendinopathies that happen, the tennis elbows, the trigger fingers, the rotator cuff tendonitis and tears and all those things that happen. Well, there are some preventive measures that can be undertaken. One of the cornerstones of it, ironically, is actually general conditioning, general upper limb conditioning. You know, these musicians start at the age of five, sometimes even earlier, well before professional athletes start. And they are professional athletes, but they're using their limbs in a much, much, much more highly repetitive way, as opposed to the professional athletes who, yes, they're doing repetitive motions, but they're responding to the other people. So they're moving their limbs and jumping and running and sprinting and catching in all these different positions. So they're almost, except for maybe a professional pitcher who's trying to throw the same way every time, even they're throwing it differently based on what kind of pitch they want to throw. But a violinist, they had their elbow in exactly the same way. They had their shoulder in the same position. They had their neck bent over in the same position day in and day out. And one of the fun facts that I like to throw out when I'm lecturing on this is that the number of bow strokes that are required to play Violin Concerto No. 3 by Mozart is 20,000 bow strokes. And imagine how many times they've had to practice that just to be able to perform it, and then how many times they perform it repetitively. It's an extraordinary taxing situation, and all they can do is be mindful of that, stay conditioned. Many of the middle-aged musicians that I treat, have deconditioned because all they do is play music, and they forget to exercise and keep their torso and their core and their arms in generally better conditioning.
So Alton, are you seeing the same injuries that common to certain musical styles? So classical music will have certain injuries and rock and roll have other certain injuries, or do you see it that way?
Absolutely. Now, rock and roll, the crossover course or the string, you know, the guitars and the mm-hmm. classical guitars and the other string instruments. But each instrument, and we're doing a study on this right now, each instrument requires very unique limb joint positioning and things that I'm still learning. I've been doing this for over 20 years, treating just thousands of musicians, and I still learn something new all the time. For instance, a harpist does not ever use their little finger to play the harp. And so they can injure that finger, and we can ignore that, whereas many of the rock and roll guitarists, they do use that little finger as classical guitarists do. So that's one aspect. But the other aspect is we have to alter our treatment in ways that I wouldn't have to alter, even for treating a fellow surgeon or someone like that, or someone who works at a desk. We don't need the extremes of motion. But for a violinist, their elbow is flexed almost as far as it will flex. So someone else who might have a little stiffness after a routine fracture, they're fine doing everything. They can do everything. They can play sports. They can do everything. But the violinist or the cellist of their left arm, they simply can't play because they can't get to those certain notes. And so I might have to operate on them much sooner, or if at all, compared to someone who I would never operate on. So it's really a complicated, fun, but really nuanced approach.
And how do you get musicians to rest and rest those ligaments and after surgery and that? Because, I mean, after all, they're musicians. They can't help but do it.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, they don't rest, and they don't want to rest. And, you know, that actually makes me think, and I will address that, but that makes me think about what I'm asked frequently by even other clinicians, they'll say, well, aren't musicians neurotic? Aren't they difficult patients? And actually, it's quite the opposite. They are the best patients in my practice. And the reason is they're, to your point, they're so motivated. All they want to do is get back to making music. And they want to make it because they need to make a living. They also make it because that's how they maintain their cognitive and psychological well-being, right? By making music. Mm-hmm. And so they are desperate to get back. So they're the most compliant, dedicated, and patients that I treat. Mm-hmm. And but they do, you have to be careful about rest because they are using their muscles in such a uniquely high repetition but non-maximally use pattern that if they are fallow for 3 weeks, 3 weeks is okay. If they're fallow for 6 or 8 weeks and not playing, that takes them a substantial amount of time to get back that fine, perfect dexterity to be able to perform at the highest level.
Wow. And how do you see music as being powerful as medicine, as healing?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's actually a lot of work that's been done on that and studies. I mean, if you take depressed people, especially they've done it in older people in nursing homes, but in younger people as well, even elementary school level, listening to music creates positive emotions, period. And we've all felt that. I hope we've all felt that. I mean, I have distinct memories of one song that I've heard that brought me to tears, and it brings out emotions. But all of that is very positive. But also, music actually improves our cognitive health. I mean, our ability to fight off Alzheimer's and other forms of mental deterioration absolutely is offset and countered by music. And it directly fights depression. It changes the brain chemistry. And a great study that Lim did in about 2008 or so was looked at these MRIs, these active MRIs in people making specifically jazz musicians who are improvising, and the stimulation of the important parts of the brain was extraordinary with improvisation. And many people who even are not professional musicians, but who pick up a guitar or a piano or whatever and just improvise and just play a little bit. I mean, my kids basically do that. They're not even, wouldn't even be considered musicians, but they love doing that. And it is very, very positive. And clearly, the evidence is unequivocal about how important it is for our mental and psychological well-being.
This is fascinating. Dr. Barron, we're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about how you use music with your patients.